Our speaker this evening really doesn't need any introduction because each of us here know our brother. Many of us have had the opportunity to work with him and to serve with him, to know and to understand the desire of his heart to preach the gospel of Christ and to teach those things that is essential toward the soul's welfare. And so as our brother speaks to us tonight, I would ask for my brother Don, your careful and prayerful attention. I know he wants your prayers, but for yourself, give him your careful attention. Because I'm sure that he has something that's meet for the souls of the children of men. Our brother Apostle Don McAdoo.
Thank you, Hubert. Good evening to you each. I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I got a kind of a surprise last Sunday morning. I've been preoccupied trying to get lessons and things ready for our trip to Africa. Seemed like every time I cross something off my list, there's two more things pop onto it. And I knew I had a class this afternoon with the young people, young members, younger members of our congregation. So it was with surprise when I heard the announcement that I'm the speaker this evening. I'd completely forgotten all about it. So that afternoon, I made it a matter of prayer that the Lord would direct me and help me with the preparation of a message. And there came into my mind a scripture, and I'm not going to use it. But as that scripture, as I turned to it and was reading it, there was a word that just jumped right off the page and into my mind. I'm going to read a little text, short. You don't need to look it up, too short. I'll have it done before you look it up. It comes from Proverbs. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, maybe you can guess the word that jumped out of my, off that page that day. And it impressed itself upon me that it's something I needed to study and know exactly how it applied to my life. Diligence. We read it all the time. A number of scriptures contain that word. I'm going to read a few of them tonight. Scriptures that contain the word and the exhortation, the admonition to be diligent. But before I read any of those, I'd like to read two scriptures, one from the Book of Mormon, one from the Bible. Stories about people who gave us a good example of diligence and what it is. First of all, in the Book of Mormon, I'm going to read from the Book of Alma, chapter 12. And these are words that are so familiar to you. And they're familiar to me. And I never tire of reading them. I never fail to be inspired and encouraged as I read them. Alma, chapter 12, on page 362. I'm going to begin with verse 4. It's going to be quite a lengthy reading, but every bit of it speaks to our subject. Verse 4. These sons of Mosiah, it's talking about the sons of Mosiah. You remember them. They once were sort of enemies to the gospel. They lived a life that was a detraction from the work of the gospel and the purpose of the Lord. And then they were present with Alma when the Lord sent an angel to reprove them, admonish them, and their lives were forever changed. Let's read about the changed life, beginning with verse 4. For they were men of sound understanding, and they had searched the scriptures diligently. that they might know the Word of God. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. And they had been teaching the Word of God for the space of 14 years among the Lamanites, having had much success in bringing many to the knowledge of the truth. Yea, by the power of their words, many were brought before the altar of God to call on His name and confess their sins before Him. And these are the circumstances which attended them in their journeyings, for they had many afflictions. They did suffer much, both in body and in mind, such as hunger and thirst and fatigue, and also much labor in the spirit. Now these were their journeyings. Having taken leave of their father Mosiah in the first year of the reign of the judges, having refused the kingdom which their father was desirous to confer upon them, and also this was the mind of the people, nevertheless, they departed out of the land of Zarahemla and took their swords and their spears and their bows and arrows and their slings, and they did, and this they did that they might provide food for themselves while in the wilderness. And thus they departed into the wilderness with their numbers, which they had selected to go up to the land of Nephi to preach the word of God unto the Lamanites. And it came to pass that they journeyed many days in the wilderness, and they fasted much, and they prayed much, that the Lord would grant unto them a portion of His Spirit to go with them and abide with them, that they might be an instrument in the hands of God to bring, if it were possible, their brethren the Lamanites to the knowledge of truth, to the knowledge of the baseness of the traditions of their fathers, which were not correct. And there came a time, you know, I'm not reading now, I'm going ahead to a few chapters where one of them is thinking back to these 14 years spent diligently going through the jungles in search of peoples that were enemies to them, that they might carry the gospel to them. Hungry, thirsty, sick, afflicted, and they even became discouraged. Quite common to us, but through it all, the Lord enhanced their diligence by appearing to them, by sending to them an angel. And let's continue now with verse 17. It came to pass that the Lord did visit them with His Spirit and said unto them, be comforted. And they were comforted. And the Lord said unto them also, go forth among the Lamanites, thy brethren, and establish my word. Yet ye shall be patient in long suffering and afflictions, that you may show forth good examples unto them in me. And I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls. Diligence. Many would have fainted, tired, given up, returned to their homes. But for 14 years, these men diligently served the Lord. Well, I never cease to marvel at that beautiful story. I never cease to marvel at the power and the love of God. Looking at His children here, He knows when they're tired. He knows when they're discouraged. He knows when they're weak. And He is ever ready to send His Holy Spirit to them to encourage, to admonition, to lift them up, to revive them once again. And I know there are many people here in this congregation who have felt that reviving, encouraging Spirit of the Lord, that we might continue diligently in the task that we have set for ourselves. Well, the next story, it's a shorter story. It comes from the Bible, from the book of Acts. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. You notice I never seem to tell you the verses, because if I do, you're going to be reading it before I ever even find it. My fingers don't work anymore. Acts chapter 17, we're going to read verses 23. No, that's not what I want. Chapter 18, verses 23 to 28. After he, this is speaking of the Apostle Paul, had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia, in order strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scripture that Jesus was Christ. Through his diligence. Diligence of what? Of speaking boldly and teaching people who didn't want to hear this message. People who were enemies of the Christians at that time. But he was diligent. And it said the results of that, he mightily convinced the Jews to believe in Jesus Christ. A beautiful example of diligence. You know, we know for sure that there are all kinds of scriptural admonitions for us, his children, his people, his church, exhortations to be diligent. Very quickly, let's just look at a few. In 2 Nephi chapter 6, one verse, I'm going to read it. You don't even need to look it up. You can't even write it down if you want and look it up later. It says, "Hearken diligently unto me, and remember the words which I have spoken, and come to the Holy One of Israel." Hearken, listen diligently. And that's what we come to church for on Sundays, in one way. Not only to glorify the Lord, not only to be a witness that we are believers in Jesus Christ, but to listen diligently to the Word of God. In Deuteronomy, Moses, or rather let's say God, through his servant Moses, admonished the people, the parents of Israel. He admonished them, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Diligence in teaching our children. Another exhortation, admonition to be diligent. And finally, in the Bible, in the New Testament, Hebrews, in chapter 11, I'm just going to read a very familiar verse, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." You know, we believe, I think I'm speaking for you each, we believe that these words, words of Moses, words of the Apostle Paul, words of Alma, are really words of the Lord. And he inspired with his Holy Spirit these servants of him to write those words that I have just read to you. And many other exhortations to diligence in the Scripture. I believe that God knows us as a people, individually. Each one, as our brother mentioned today, is unique. Each one with different capabilities, each one with different experiences, each one with a different level of knowledge. He knows us each. And He is going to use exact words to fit Don McIndoo. Exact words to fit each one of us. Now, I have read, and I'm going to read a whole bunch more scriptures that use the English word diligence or diligent. But those weren't the words that God placed on the hearts of His servants. He placed on their hearts other words that have just been translated diligent in English. I would like to read some examples of exhortations of the Scripture and what words God used, what they really meant to Him, to speak to us individually, as we might need it. First of all, I'm going to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, the Apostle Paul was not writing English. He used Greek words. And the Greek word that he used there means earnest. And it means careful. And it means eagerness, with dispatch, quickly. Now, somebody may really need that definition, that understanding of diligence, and somebody else may not. Somebody else maybe needs to slow down a little bit. But the words that the Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to write meant eagerness and care and dispatch. Let's read in the same chapter, verse 22. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. And here the word diligence means promptness. Promptness. Energetic. Earnestly. And so when we read there in Alma about the sons of Mosiah studying the Word of God diligently, it has these connotations. And that's the connotation I need to use as well. I need to study it earnestly. A whole lot of us sit down from time to time with our Bible or our Book of Mormon, and we dutifully read a chapter or half a chapter. Are we doing it earnestly and carefully that we might gain something from every chapter that we read? Or has it become a habit? Is it just something we do because we know we ought to? You know, that's why I say these words that Paul used and the words that the Old Testament writers used in Hebrew had a particular significance that I need to understand. Say, also in the Bible, 2 Peter. The second epistle of Peter. Chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And when Peter penned these words to the church, and his words were to all the church, and he said to be diligent, that meant to be earnest, to be prompt, and to make a great effort. To make a great effort. And so it's important that I understand that significance of that word. In Luke, the words of Jesus Christ. Chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 58. Hopefully we aren't going to encounter this situation that he's speaking about, but we may, who knows. When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell you that thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Be diligent in your conversation and your exhortation to your adversaries. And the word that he used means take pains. Take pains to do it. Make an effort to do it. Be very careful. Take pains. Do it carefully. Be diligent. Take pains. And finally, I'm going to close with a reading here from 2 Nephi. Another very common reading that we've heard many times, but I love it. Chapter 11. Now, when we're reading out of the Book of Mormon, I don't have a Strong's to go to. They didn't speak Greek, nor write it, and maybe not even Hebrew. So, let's see what it says. Verse 43. I'm going to read verse 43 and verse 48. For we labor diligently to write. Do you? Do you, Jim? You labor diligently to write? We labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to Christ. Verse 48, and we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins. Diligently they do it. Well, now, you know, I don't have a Strong's, or I don't have a dictionary to the language they use to know exactly what that word meant. But I can tell you what it meant. They labored diligently with difficulty, taking a sharp metal awl, and with great difficulty to inscribe on a plate of metal that which was inspired upon their hearts. It's not easy. If you've ever tried it, if you haven't ever tried, take my word for it. I tried it. It's not easy. They labored diligently to write that in a way that it would be lasting through the years, that their children and their grandchildren and others would know the beautiful gospel that they were speaking about and their witness for Jesus Christ. Well, with these few scriptures, I've done my part. And the rest of it, I guess, is your part. We're going to take those those definitions that I have given you. Diligence. When you read that word in your Bible, in your Book of Mormon in the future, I want you to think of it not as just another word. I want you to think of it and what it really means. We're going to take a look at it up here, and I can't see it from now on. It's up to you and Brian. Here's the definition. These are the different aspects of diligence, and I'm asking you tonight to make a self-evaluation of yourself as being a diligent Christian. Diligent Christian, one that fulfills all his responsibilities. Well, here are some of the aspects of diligence that we have found as we read these few scriptures from the Bible. Not from Book of Mormon. It's you're doing something, you are meeting your responsibilities earnestly. You're very careful about fulfilling all your responsibilities. You do it eagerly. Not reluctantly, not because you've been pushed into it, but eagerly do it. Voluntarily do it. You're eager to do it. Promptly you do it. Not putting it off like so many of us do, but we get at it promptly, meeting our responsibilities, making great effort, taking pains to do it well. Diligent. So when we consider, which we're going to do next, the commandments of God to His people in the Church of Christ, as we consider each of these commandments or any other commandment that we come across or hear or read in the future, there's your criteria to see if you're diligent or negligent. Well, this list of commandments that we're going to look at tonight is just 10. Not the 10 commandments, but it's just 10 commandments in the New Testament to the church of Jesus Christ, the members of the church. It comes from lessons that I've taught in Mexico and Honduras and Africa about the responsibilities of members of the Church of Christ. Only I didn't just give 10 of them, I used 18 of them. Today, we're just going to consider 10. Let's look at the first one. The member that is diligent, he will keep my commandments. He will keep my commandments. Earnestly, yeah. Carefully. Eagerly. Promptly. With great effort. Taking pains to keep his commandments. I'm going to read, while we're looking at that, I'm going to read a little passage here in chapter 19 of Alma. One verse I'm going to read. And now, my son, I have somewhat more to say unto thee. This is Alma speaking to his son, Corianton. Somewhat more to say unto thee than what I said unto thy brother. For behold, have you not observed the steadiness of thy brother, his faithfulness, and his diligence in keeping the commandments of God? Now this older boy that he's talking to hadn't been that faithful nor that diligent. That's steady. He kind of wandered off in the things and the temptations of the world. And so he's encouraging, you know, look at your brother. Earnestly keeping those commandments, diligently doing it, making great effort to be obedient to all the commandments, taking pains to do it well. Well, let's go to the next commandment. Number two. And Jesus said, and you are witnesses to these things. That's the commandment. We have been called to be witnesses of the Word of God. Witnesses of the coming of His Son and the great sacrifice that He made and His resurrection that men might find salvation. And you're called to be a witness, earnestly to witness to others, taking great pains to use every opportunity you can. Well, you know, when I look at that, and I look at the real meaning of diligence, I see I've been negligent. I've been negligent. I've shirked a lot of opportunities to witness for Jesus Christ among some of the people I worked with. Lots of opportunities. Far easier for me to go to Mexico or to Africa and witness to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ than the guy I work with every day or my boss. Far easier. And I've been negligent, not taking pains to do it well, not making a great effort. It's a thing I need to change in my life because I see I haven't been diligent. Let's look at the third commandment. And the church did meet together oft. Now the church met together for all kinds of reasons, to take communion. The church met together to praise the Lord, sing praises, to pray, and to testify, and to listen to the Word of God. Our brothers in Mexico, church is their life. It's their social life as well as their spiritual life. Now, and the church did meet together oft. We have all kinds of services here in the church. I don't want to say anything improperly, but they are your responsibility to support. Do you do it earnestly? Oh, gosh, it's Wednesday night again. Or I'm too tired. I worked too hard yesterday. Do you do it carefully? Making every appointment when there's a church meeting? Oh, do you do it promptly? Hey, we fail there. This congregation fails in taking part in our services in a prompt manner. We drag in anywhere from 5 minutes to 15, 20, 30 minutes. Diligent or something else, you know. You know, do it with, make an effort, it said. That's what diligent is. I'm going to make an effort to be there when that service begins. And it takes an effort. You know, here I am. All I got to do is get my wife ready. And dinner and everything. And here other people are, got 2-3 little kids they got to get ready. It takes an effort. I realize that. But if we're going to be diligent, we make the effort to be there promptly. That shows a good witness to everybody else. I can see the neighbor. No, I can't because they're members of the church. But in many instances, I can just see, oh, look at those guys. They just drag in and out of there any old time. No, we're going to be diligent in all aspects, pains to do it well, careful to do it well, diligently. Let's look at commandment number 4. We've talked about this already just a little bit this evening. Study to show thyself approved. That's a commandment to the people of God. Do we do it earnestly, eagerly, taking pains? As we read the Scripture, do we take the pains to look up the cross references that it relates to it? To really see what it's saying and how it applies? If we find words we don't know, do we take the pains to use the dictionary and find out what it really meant? That's what diligence is. Remember those sons of Mosiah. They studied the Scriptures diligently. That's a lot different than reading the Bible, reading the Book of Mormon. But that's the commandment. Study diligently to show thyself approved. Let's read number 5. Oh, this is an easy one. Bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse of the Lord. Do we do that diligently? We do it promptly? Do we do it promptly? I know a lot of people do, you know. Payday comes, and the first Sunday after payday, they're ready to give their tithing and their offerings for the work of the Lord. And this congregation is wonderful at paying their tithing. I mentioned that this afternoon. I remember a year when our treasurer, our bishop's agent, told us how much tithing we had contributed. I kept it in a little notebook, and when I went back to conference, I looked to see how much tithing came in that year. The Phoenix Local gave a third of it. There are a whole lot of people that are not being diligent if this congregation can give a third of it. But we need to be diligent. And I have known people that say, well, you know, I got paid today, and I'm going to get paid 4 weeks from today, and I'm going to hold on to this until 3 weeks and 6 days so I can see if I can get by through the month, and then I'll pay my tithing. No, that's not doing it diligently. Doing it diligently is like Michelle said one time in a testimony, I don't dare. I wouldn't dare not pay my tithing as I get my income. Diligently, promptly, making it. Sometimes it may be a great effort to do it. But we want to be diligent. Let's look at number 6. Another commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. You must watch and pray always. Do you do that diligently? There's not a day that passes without you taking time to pray to the Lord, to thank Him, to praise His name, to make your supplications for His help, whatever it is that He impresses on your mind, every single day we're going to be diligent. And the Scriptures say morning and noontime and night. And as we're walking in the way, diligently. Well, those things are basic. Those are very basic, the things we've talked about. Let's consider some things less talked about. Number 7. Oh, it's talked about this morning, though. Ye shall reverence my sanctuary. This is the sanctuary of the Lord. So what does that mean? That we're going to revere the sanctuary of the Lord. It means we're going to come in here and we're going to conduct ourselves in an attitude of deep respect for the one whose house this is. We're going to love and have awe as if we're coming into some place sacred. We're not coming to church today. We're coming into a place that is sacred. Well, do we do that eagerly? Do we take pains to make this sacred? When we come in, do we take pains, make a great effort to act reverently within the house of the Lord between services? Do we take great effort? As we think, gee, I would hate to even ask our sister that is the custodian of the place how much garbage she picks up every week. Do we take pains to take care and keep beautiful the house of the Lord with love and awe and respect? You know, I sometimes wonder, how many of you, as you come into the chapel, every period of time that passes by, I don't know how often, quite often, there are new decorations to make it beautiful. Do you notice them? Are you aware of them? Somebody making an effort. Somebody making an effort to make our chapel beautiful and to make it fit perhaps the time of year or the seasons or the holiday or the occasion. And we can just come in, you know, and sit down and visit and talk and listen and never pay attention to what's going on. Somebody else is taking pains to plant flowers and trim the hedge and do things to make the house of the Lord look like the house of the Lord, not just some other old place down the street. That to me, that's, we don't talk about that often, but it's important. Let's look at number 8. Servants. Well, I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Servants, be subject to your masters. What is the apostle saying? He's saying, do your work diligently. I don't care who you work for. He was talking to every Christian. I don't care, Christian, who you work for, who's your master, what house you're in, what job you do. But do it well. Do it carefully. Do it earnestly. Do it promptly. Get it all done. Take pains to do the job right. You know, we have people in our congregation here who have received, I'm not going to name them all, you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but have received wonderful benefits at the place they work. They tell their employer, you know, gee, I sure need next Sunday off. We're having a special activity and I need to be there. And their employer gives it to them. Makes the other employees angry sometimes. But why does he give it to them? Because he realizes that's a diligent worker here. He respects it. He has a place in his heart for people who do the job earnestly, eager. They're not just there for the paycheck. They're not just there and looking for how quick 4 o'clock comes so they can leave and go home. They're doing the job eagerly, earnestly, carefully, taking pains. And if they're not quite through with the job and the bell rings, they hang right in there diligently. Let's look at number 9. Wow. Old Testament. The prophet told the family, sell the oil and pay thy debt. What's it saying here? We have responsibilities. I just imagine there's not a person under the sound of my voice, hardly a person, who this doesn't apply to. We need to be careful and pay our debts. King Benjamin, when he was talking to people, is a little different, but the same line. He said, if you borrow something from a brother, return it promptly. Return it promptly. Do we do that? Are we diligent about paying our debts and returning things that we borrow? You know, one time years and years ago, I was just a kid. My brother, Leon Yates, Sr., was going deer hunting. And his .22 rifle was broken, and he wanted that rifle. He wanted a .22 rifle so he could shoot a few rabbits or something to give to his animals or whatever. He asked me if he could borrow my rifle. Sure. He took it. I had a .22 automatic rifle, an old-time rifle that my father had given to me. Boy, I wish I still had it. It'd probably be worth a mint. While he was there, he leaned it up against the side of the pickup truck, and something wiggled the pickup truck, and it fell over, and it bent the front side a little bit. He got home from his hunting trip, and he called me up within an hour after getting home. He said, Don, something happened to your rifle, and I need to take care of a few things, and I'll bring it back to you next week. Okay, he brought that rifle back to me. Not only had the sight been replaced, it had been freshly blued and cleaned up. It was like a brand new rifle. Now that's what King Benjamin was talking about. And that's what Second Kings is talking about when it says, pay thy debt. And we need to be diligent in these little things, aspects of our Christian life. I loaned a gun to a guy one time. I loaned a shotgun to one of my best friends. He wanted to go hunting with his dad. And so, you know, the hunting trip passed, and he didn't say anything. And a week passed, and he didn't say anything. And finally I said, Richard, I'm going to need that gun next week because I'm going quail hunting with my dad. Well, oh, yeah, right. Okay, I got it. So come on over, and I'll give it to you. I went over to his house, and he got in the closet, and here he had that thing. Man, it was filthy. It hadn't been cleaned. It was terrible. He hadn't even run a rag through the barrel. Now, am I going to be apt to want to loan it to him again? No. That doesn't engender the kind of trust and community effort that we have. So we need to be diligent, paying our debts, returning things that we borrow from the church, from the library, or whatever it might be. And finally, the last one. Once again, the Apostle Paul is talking, and we need to understand a little bit about what he's saying. He said, esteem them very highly in love. Who's he talking about? He's talking to you, every member of Christ's church, holding in esteem and love your ministry. That's what he's talking about. They may not be the greatest guy in the world. They may not be your best friend. But he's saying, because of the thing that God has caused them to do and called them to do, you hold them in high esteem and love. And so when I preach a sermon today and I say some things that, you know, kind of upset you, and you go home and you're eating your supper tonight, are you going to sit around the table and run down the things that the preacher said? No. No, because what a horrible example that would be for your children. And someday the preacher's going to say something your child needs to hear. My folks don't pay attention to him. Why should I? No, Paul was trying to exclude that kind of thing from the Christian fellowship. So hold them in esteem and love. Not for them individually, but for their calling and for their effort and for the thing that God has placed them there to do. Well, I'm going to read a scripture now that we've finished making our self-evaluation. No, you haven't finished. The rest of your life, when you hear or read a commandment that God has given to us, I want you to think about what it really means. Is that the way you're thinking about that commandment and endeavoring to fulfill it? But now I'm going to read Alma 27. Boy, chapter 26 is long. Chapter 27. I'm going to read verses 22 to 26. Moroni is speaking. Yea, ye might have sent armies unto them, to have strengthened them and have saved thousands of them from falling by the sword. But behold, this is not all. You have withheld your provisions from them, insomuch that many have fought and bled out their lives because of their great desires which they had for the welfare of this people. Yea, and this they have done when they were about to perish with hunger because of your exceeding great neglect toward them. And now, my beloved brethren, for ye had ought to be beloved, yea, and ye had ought to have stirred yourselves more diligently for the welfare and the freedom of this people. But behold, you've neglected them. That's the opposite. The opposite of diligent is neglect. And so if we are not endeavoring to do these things, we are being neglectful about the commandments that God has given us. Well, I'm just going to conclude now. I have them written down here. I'm not going to take time to look them up. Some of the many promises that God has made to us related to our diligence. From Proverbs, he that diligently seeketh good shall find favor. What a wonderful promise. From Jacob in the Book of Mormon. For behold, you have been diligent in laboring with me in my vineyard and have kept my commandments and have brought unto me again the natural fruit, that my vineyard is no more corrupted and the bad is cast away. This is the work that's in front of us right now. This is what Jacob was talking about, what lies in front of us. Behold, you shall have joy with me. Oh, what a wonderful promise. If we are laboring diligently today, we have this promise of God. We will have joy with Him. 1 Nephi chapter 3. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto them by the power of the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful promise. The mysteries of God. Oh yeah, there's still some mysteries out there. No one of your ministry here or all of us collectively can explain to you everything in the Scripture and every promise for the future. There are mysteries out there. But if we diligently seek, we shall find unfolded these mysteries of God. Matthew, Jesus Christ speaking. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant if he's found well doing. You're those servants. If we're found doing these things well, caring for the work of the Lord and the house of the Lord, economically, spiritually, mentally, physically, blessed is that servant. And finally in Alma chapter 18, I say unto you, my son, that I have had great joy in thee already because of thy faithfulness and thy diligence and thy patience and thy long suffering among the people of the Zoramites. And now, my son Shiblon, I would that you would remember that as much as you shall put your trust in God, even so much as you shall be delivered out of your trials and your troubles and your affections, and ye shall be lifted up at the last day. What greater promises could one hope for through our diligence? Well, God bless me and you in our efforts to be diligent. Thank you.
Forget the announcements of the week.